Welcome to Hubbub, the People's Podcast, where we engage our citizens and investors with the activities of the Planning and Code Administration and encourage everyone to contribute to Hagerstown's growth.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Hubbub Podcast. Of course, it's only appropriate to introduce Donnie Harkham.
And Mr. Sean Brown. Can't leave you out of it.
Well, we could, but it would leave it all on you.
Yeah, I'm not about that right now.
Okay, so how are you doing?
I need you. I'm good. I'm really good.
Yeah.
We are in May. I can't believe it. That's crazy to think about. The year's just moving right along.
So. Episode 23, coming up on 2 years.
Coming up on 2 years. So if you've stuck with us this long, thank you very much. We appreciate it. So.
Yeah, if you've stuck with us this long, maybe somebody's paying you a lot. I don't know.
I don't know, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. And really, seriously, we hope that this information is benefiting everybody. As our topic today, as we mentioned in our topic last month, we mentioned that this month we would be talking about annexation. That's different.
Yeah, something I didn't know too much about before. But maybe you will enlighten us today.
Well, with your help, of course.
All right.
Your help, of course. Annexation, it's a topic probably the farthest from anybody's mind, but it's something that's really affected kind of since the beginning of mankind and still very much affects us today. So we're going to talk about what annexation is, how it's really plays an integral part of the development of Hagerstown.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but we might kind of illustrate annexation in a simple way. You know, you live in your house, you've got a piece of property, and maybe there's a vacant lot next to you, or there's just land around you. And you look at that and you're thinking to yourself, well, man, that'd be nice to have that. Mm-hmm. And why? Because you're thinking about the benefits. Man, that means nobody can build next to me.
Right.
You know, I got a nice view, nobody's gonna obstruct it. You just think about the benefits. Of course, you know there's gonna be taxes too, and you know there's gonna be a cost and upkeep. So you know there's gonna be a cost to it, but the benefits kind of outweigh that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea, you know, but how does that come about? You know, and I think that's something we're going to touch on today.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we'll talk about, annexations have happened since the beginning of time for one reason or another. It's very legal. And this podcast is really not to endorse or discourage annexation. It's just to kind of present the facts and how it works and how it does affect local communities. So whether you're a local developer or you're just a homeowner, annexation can very much affect you. So I think we'll look forward to talking about this discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what are annexations to begin with? So like I said earlier, a lot of our topics I didn't have much knowledge in before starting this job. And by preparing these podcasts, I've gained a lot of knowledge, as I hope all the listeners are as well. But to put it simply, an annexation is when a geographic area is added to a jurisdiction or entity through some type of action, such as invasion, purchase, or administrative agreement. And there are many examples throughout history of the first two. We'll be talking today about the less dramatic municipal annexations, which are the result of administrative agreements. You know, in these administrative agreements, it's a legal process by a city or other municipality that acquires land as its jurisdictional territory. The municipality expands its boundaries into adjacent areas not already incorporated into that municipality. And this may be conducted because the neighboring areas seek municipal services. And the focus of this podcast will be the municipal annexations, which is distinctly different from annexations involving sovereign states or regions. And I don't know about you, Sean, but I am not nearly qualified enough to discuss international borders and all that. So
me neither. You know, this is very basic at best. And, you know, what's interesting is when you look at the history, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is that the way we see different countries and even the United States, the way they are today is a result in great part due to some type of annexation.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So we go all the way back to the 16th century during the time of the English colonies. And that was really the beginning and the foundation for what we call annexation, basically territory evolution. And so when we go back to around 1707 with the Kingdom of Great Britain, that was formed with the union of the Kingdom of Scotland and with the Kingdom of England. And this was, in this case, a reasonably acceptable solution. In other words, you had one country, Scotland, they had a need. England had a need. They could see how they could mutually benefit. One had one, this one didn't, and vice versa. So they saw a benefit to joining. So that's exactly what happened. And so then in 1801, Great Britain united with the Kingdom of Ireland to form the United Kingdom. And these unions included control over its colonial possessions, which included the American colony. So we don't have to go any farther than that to understand what resulted from that. So that was just the beginnings, to kind of helps us to see, get another snapshot of how the United States came to be.
Right, and it's interesting to see these two different entities become one to what we know it as today. And that brings us into the next topic, is the evolution of the world and the United States. As we discuss these, the evolution of annexations, we're going to put a link in the podcast description, and it's a video of a world map from 1800 to 2016, and it shows how all the countries were being formed and changed over the years. So the majority of Texas was an annexation by the United States. The Republic of Texas declared independence from the Republic of Mexico in 1836 and applied for annexation into the United States that same year. Texas was admitted to the Union as the 28th state in 1845. Hawaii was also annexed into the United States, called the Newsland Resolution in 1898. The resolution was named after Representative Francis Newsland from Nevada, and he's the one that drafted the resolution. Prior to being annexed into the United States, Hawaii was ruled by kings and queens. Hawaii became the 50th state of the United States on August 21st, 1959. So fairly, recent, which is pretty cool to see. And if you enjoy history and find annexations interesting, we would recommend using your local library to read more about the annexations of Texas and Hawaii, because those are some big annexations into the United States.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, because that is very interesting information with the United States, because, if we haven't been around that long, we just assume the states have always been like they are.
Right.
No, it was drastically different.
Very much so.
Early on. So, and that kind of brings us, kind of helping us to kind of drill it down a little bit more. We've talked a little bit about kind of on a national scale, Now, we talk about like local things like cities and towns, and the same thing happens because, you can just imagine naturally as a town grows and, what dictates what it's called, whether it's a city, a town, or a village, is the amount of people and population. And as they grow out, then those designations change. So really, all cities experience some type of development outside of their boundaries. And so naturally, those areas that are right outside of the fringes of those cities, they're going to change. And not only are these areas socially and economically linked to the city, but sometimes the residents and industrial and commercial businesses in these areas utilize the city's resources and services without contributing their share of the cost to the city. So what that's saying is that if you have a city and then the people live right outside of that city, they may be benefiting from certain services, whether it be emergency, utilities. So they're kind of having their cake and eating it too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Who wouldn't like that?
Yeah, I don't blame them.
But it does exact a cost to the city.
Right.
So as we kind of just alluded to, those kind of practices, even though they're a benefit to that particular owner, they can put a strain on municipal governments, because you've got a government that is paying for the services themselves, but they're not getting any recouping that money.
Right.
Right. So to resolve these issues, an urbanized core city, they may seek to annex, maybe transfer parcels of land, and absorb them into the city to be able to use those resources more efficiently. And then now they can capture that growth, they can capture more of a tax base and implement plans so that they can you know, again, still provide those services and benefits, but maintain those services.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's like, we're giving you this already, you know, it would be nice to be compensated for that. So I do see the benefit of that.
Absolutely. And in some cases, annexation may even precede urbanization, the change from rural to urban, as a means of capturing anticipated growth. So what that means is that a city may look down the road and they see, kind of like Hagerstown, you know, you've basically reached all your limits, your boundaries of your city, and you're looking ahead and you're thinking, we're going to continue to grow.
Right.
So we need to capture more area to allow for that growth. And that is not unusual. There are a number of examples of areas in the United States that have done that. For example, going back to 1949, Houston in Texas added 79 square miles. And Houston followed this large annexation by adding 188 square miles in 1956. Wow. Yeah. We have the city of Atlanta. They annexed 82 square miles in 1951. Mobile, Alabama annexed 76.8 square miles in 1955. So that can be a challenge because it's not just a matter of absorbing land, but there are so many changes and not necessarily at the same time. But what they do try to do is, you know, provide these services to urban populations and to regulate them in an orderly fashion. And cities can be ringed by developments. And sooner or later, urban services and facilities are demanded by the surrounding areas. So it just kind of goes back to what we were talking about, that you almost have to do it to provide the needed services to the people around us. And of course, cities and localities, they can't just do their on their own. Many times that they're regulated by state law, such as here in Maryland. And they can vary from state to state, but usually there's some type of state laws that regulate how this is done.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And those are some crazy numbers, some of those cities that gain that much square miles. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So what about unincorporated areas? How do they fit into the annexations? So unless the annexation is limited by petition by the neighboring parcels asking to join the municipality or by a proposed annexation ordinance, it is more advantageous to have planning staff delineate the areas that seem ready for annexation. Property owners that petitioned for annexation may make a preliminary judgment that they are in fact urban and want to join the municipality. So here in Maryland, you need a certain percentage of owners and voter consent in the area to be annexed. Locally, this is why we annex one tract at a time and at the owner's request. Planning staff make the same judgment and investigate if land should join a jurisdiction. For example, in Charleston, West Virginia, an area of approximately 75 square miles was reduced to 50 square miles after an initial investigation. A more intensive study was performed on the 50 square miles, which was reduced to 12 square miles due to future population, topography, and supply buildable land. You know, these are several factors a jurisdiction examines when considering land to be annexed into the city. And yes, there are future tax revenues from the annexation, but there are several other factors as well. You know, these are it's the land area, the population, the buildings, streets, land use, police, fire, and even us, code enforcement staff. And if a city annexes an area, they are now responsible for such items as streets. So yes, if the city takes on a new area, that does expand their operations as well. So
yeah, so that with what you just said, that tells us how it comes back around to how our department is affected and how it relates to annexation.
Right.
As well as other city departments, but our department in particular, now we're responsible for those areas that have been absorbed when it comes to code and, you know, land use and those types of things. So
exactly.
It certainly adds more of a load of responsibility. So, and again, you know, with these laws that come into place that govern how these things happen, along with that is what's called annexation agreements. And basically that's just what it is. It's an agreement that's made between a city or town or owners of land, private developers. It can be anybody generally that the city sets out a legal agreement with, and it spells out how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, the circumstances, what is required of both parties. That's going to be part of the agreement. Are there going to be obstacles that have to be overcome to meet that agreement? Those are going to be outlined as well. So basically all the terms and the conditions, it's not just one-sided. It's two mutual parties that have agreed to make that annexation occur. And then there's also going to be provisions included in that annexation agreement that are going to address present and even future improvements by the developer of the city. And again, that's going to include timetables, land stipulations, construction, and environmental protection requirements. And that means that sometimes there even can be restrictions or things that may need to happen, but they might be delayed. So as an example, in Maryland, when land from the county is annexed into the city of Hagerstown, the county must approve zoning changes resulting from that annexation. And if they find it substantially different and refuse to grant express approval of the change, the annexed land must wait for years to use the requested city zoning. Well, what does that mean? So, you know, the city, every parcel is zoned, and it's zoned for a specific use in that area of the city to make it compatible. But in the county, the zoning may be totally different. Maybe it's not compatible. So that's what the county is going to look at. They're going to look at that piece of land that's going to be annexed, and they can say, yeah, that's compatible. We'll allow that. Or we're going to say, no, that's not compatible. And you're going to have to wait 5 years to rezone that.
Wow.
So
it's good to know.
Yeah, so it's just not cut and dry. It's got to be, you know, a smooth transition.
It's nice you have that partnership with the surrounding county as well, just to make that a smooth transition.
Yeah.
You know, in some states, municipalities are prohibited from annexing land not directly connected to the existing jurisdiction. A shoestring or flagpole annexation allows the municipality to do so. So what is a flagpole annexation? Well, this is one strategy municipalities have employed to reach out to non-contiguous areas. The shoestring or flagpole element is typically a road, a railroad, or a creek. So why would a jurisdiction do a shoestring annexation? Well, sometimes the municipality seeks to acquire unincorporated developed land, such as newly built subdivisions separated from it by undeveloped open space. This type of annexation might be done by the municipality that desires to annex a commercial or industrial area without taking over intervening residential areas, so that tax revenues from the businesses or industry can be collected without having to provide services such as garbage collection. You know, these types of annexations were widely used by municipalities of the Phoenix metro area during the 1970s to gain control of large areas of land before other municipalities. One annexation in Gilbert, Arizona, created a county island by annexing a strip no more than 200 feet wide that enclosed 51 square miles of unincorporated Maricopa County. And this was challenged in court and found to be legal, but it resulted in legislation in 1980 outlawing strip annexations. And in Scottsdale, Arizona, they acted quickly to annex a 10-foot wide strip enclosing 86 square miles of county land before that law took effect. So what that generally means is you're taking a smaller piece to connect to the other land in order to incorporate a larger piece. So, you know, and Arizona was not the only jurisdiction to do such annexations. O'Hare Airport was connected to Chicago by a narrow strip of land approximately 200 feet wide in the 1950s, so Chicago could keep the airport under city control. And we also found examples of this in Boston, Los Angeles, and San Diego. And when challenged, Maryland courts have upheld shoestring or flagpole annexations if they felt the connector was not excessive in length, the area to be annexed is similar in character to the city, and the area is within the city's growth area. And some jurisdictions incorporate land through strips to add sections of land to their jurisdiction or by encircling an area to incorporate at a later date. Here in Maryland, we cannot annex in this manner. And these types of annexations create enclaves, which are when an area is entirely surrounded by a jurisdiction, but is not part of the jurisdiction. So there's some ways that, you know, you take a little bit of land and get a bigger piece by doing that. So it's interesting how the law has changed over the years on that too.
For sure, for sure. And to add to that, there are even other dynamics to this and how cities and counties do these annexations, and that results from what they call kind of merging cities and counties. And in the United States, it's not unusual to basically consolidate city and county forms of government. And what that means is you may have other jurisdictions that are very close proximity with one another, but then they merge together to be one unified jurisdiction. And there's benefits to that. It gives governmental powers of both a municipal corporation and administrative division of a state. And you'll see that in really large concentrated areas. For example, the Midwest and Upper South, they really have the highest concentration of large consolidated city-county governments in the United States. And this includes Indianapolis, Indiana, Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas City, Kansas, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is the largest consolidated population, and Sitka, Alaska, which is the largest land area. So, some interesting dynamics there. In fact, the area that I came from down in Suffolk, Virginia, a similar situation that kind of encompasses what we're talking about here, as well as what you were talking about earlier, where a locality might absorb outlying areas before another municipality does. And that's what exactly happened in Suffolk. And get this, so you had Suffolk, which was the core town area, was only a couple square miles, very small little city. But then there was Nansman County, which was just west of Chesapeake in the Virginia Beach area, well over 400 square miles, like 428 square miles. Well, the politicians in that area of Hagerstown, they looked ahead because they saw other jurisdictions growing. And they foresaw that basically what they would eventually do is absorb some of the county because they were built out. So in their wisdom, back in 1972, they annexed all of Nansman County. So now you have the city of Suffolk, 430 square miles, one of the largest land areas of city-wise in the state of Virginia, just from that move. So, you know, interesting stories that you can see how people creatively, you know, do things because they were able to look ahead and see, hey, there's going to be a benefit for us doing that. So
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Going from a small area like that to one of the biggest.
Yeah.
Very cool. So if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you check out our previous episodes. And if you just want to learn some stuff that we were talking about, we referenced back a lot of our previous episodes. Make sure you're looking us up on YouTube by searching for the Hubbub Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well by searching for the Hubbub Podcast. We'll put a bunch of different recaps up there so that you never miss an episode.
Yeah, and I might add, Donnie, you know, like today's episode was like a puzzle piece.
Yes.
And all of our episodes are like a puzzle piece. So, you know, the episodes may not make a lot of sense by themselves, but if you listen to all of them, yes, I'm plugging our episode, our podcast. But really, seriously, if you watch them all, they kind of build a picture, putting all the episodes and the information together, and they really give you a nice picture of how the department works, how the city of Hagerstown as a whole works.
I agree. That's a good way to put that. You know, that's why I can't do this podcast without you. You're my puzzle piece that completes the Hubbub Podcast. So, all right, on to Sean's favorite part of the podcast is the weird news story. All right, so the title of this one is Florida Couple Offers Free Beer as Way to Meet the Neighbors.
Not weird.
Not weird at all. So this podcast was a lot about two areas joining together. And this weird news story uses some of the crafty tactics to do that as well.
Craft beer.
So the couple was new to the neighborhood and they wanted a way to meet their neighbors. Understand that. Well, the couple decided to hand out flyers to their new neighbors and to put out signs to come visit, and get a free beer. So that is a clever way to get people's attention, and it actually did work. They got a huge influx of people. I mean, free beer, it's a good way to get people drawn in, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I would have went.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how everyone would feel about it, but maybe Hagerstown could offer free beer to come into the city. Just maybe. A thought, you know.
Might take a law. I don't know.
Could. Yeah, I don't know if that is really legal.
Yeah.
But
something
just
for
thought.
Another podcast.
Yeah, we can explore that one later. So.
Sounds good. No, thanks for sharing. You
yes.
know, that just, you know, especially in the times we're living in right now, you know, you got to think creatively to
exactly
kind of create a positive spin, but nonetheless. All right. So next month, of course, we'll look forward to our 24th episode.
Mm.
Yeah. Hard to believe. It's really an important topic. We've kind of talked about this topic last year, and it's an important one. Recognition of National Safety Month in June. We're really going to be focusing on our podcast surrounding being safe in our home.
That's great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one because, as we mentioned before, a lot of our other podcast, you know, touches on this kind of stuff, you know, and that's one of our primary focuses in our job is to keep people safe. So this is going to be a good one.
Absolutely. Yep, it'll be a good one. All right. So that brings us to the last part of our podcast, our musical guest. How about Raising Moxie?
I was listening to them the other day. They were pretty good.
Yeah, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just closed your eyes and you listened to them, you didn't know anything about them, you would think that they were, you know, well known. I mean, the sound it was pretty amazing. But really, it's just a duo, Brian Foster and Carly Statler. They were really nice enough to allow us to feature them on this month's podcast. They do primarily covers of old songs, but I would say, not to disservice those who did the original songs, but man, when they do these remakes, they really do a nice job. And oftentimes they're in an acoustical format. They do all types of genres of music, play a lot of local venues that many people know. Recently they played at the Prohibition Pub. And they'll play again in June this year. So a really nice check out their music. And of course you can find them on our social media platforms, Facebook and YouTube, Raising Moxie. So take a listen to them. But for now, we appreciate you listening to this month's podcast. So let's take it out with Raising Moxie. One that makes me laugh, she said.